Imagine a time when the leadership of a nation was constantly in dispute, where ambition and betrayal went hand in hand. In this turbulent setting emerges the figure of Abimelech, a man whose thirst for power led him to commit one of the most shocking acts in the Bible, the massacre of his 70 brothers. But who was Abimelech? Why did he desire his father Gideon's throne so intensely? And what drove him to such extreme cruelty? Get ready for a story filled with unbridled ambition, dark conspiracies, and a relentless quest for power. Let's explore chapter 9 of the Book of Judges together and uncover the lessons this narrative has to teach us. If you enjoy this type of content, don't forget to subscribe to the channel, leave a like, and turn on notifications so you don't miss the upcoming videos. There was a time in Israel when the people had strayed from God's ways. They had turned to idols and abandoned the laws and precepts of the Lord. During these dark times, the land was ravaged by enemies and the people lived in fear and oppression. It was in this context that a man named Gideon, son of Joash, was working in a threshing floor, threshing wheat to hide it from the Midianites, the invaders who devastated the land of Israel. Gideon was a descendant of Manasseh and belonged to the humblest family in the tribe of Asher. One day, as Gideon worked, an angel of the Lord appeared to him under an oak tree in Ophrah. The angel, with a powerful and authoritative voice, addressed Gideon with these words, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Surprised and frightened, Gideon asked the angel why all these calamities had befallen Israel and where were all the miracles his ancestors had told him about. The angel replied, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Gideon, aware of his own weakness and insignificance, argued that his family was the humblest in Manasseh and he was the least in his household. But the angel of the Lord was undeterred by his excuses. He said to Gideon, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." With his heart filled with fear and determination, Gideon obeyed the Lord's voice. He gathered an army of brave men, though modest in number, and prepared to confront the Midianites. But before heading into battle, Gideon asked the Lord for a sign to confirm his mission. That night, the Lord granted Gideon a miraculous sign. He caused dew to cover a fleece placed on the ground while the ground remained dry. Then he reversed the sign, making the ground wet while the fleece stayed dry. With renewed faith, Gideon gathered an army, but God ordered him to reduce their number from 32,000 to just 300 so that the victory would clearly be a divine act. Armed only with trumpets, jars, and torches, Gideon and his 300 men defeated the Midianites spectacularly, causing confusion in the enemy camp and resulting in a decisive victory for Israel. Gideon's victory over the Midianites not only liberated Israel from oppression, but also elevated his status as a leader. After the battle, the Israelites wanted to make Gideon and his descendants a royal dynasty, but he refused, stating that the Lord was the true king of Israel. Despite this, he lived as a man of great influence and wealth, accumulating a large family. Gideon had many wives, and from these relationships, 70 sons were born. They lived in relative peace and prosperity, enjoying the fruits of the victories and the respect their father had earned. However, the large number of sons also meant there were many aspirations and potential conflicts within the family. Among these sons, there was one who stood out for his ambition and thirst for power, Abimelech, the son of a concubine. His mother was from Shechem, an important Canaanite city, which gave him a distinct and significant connection with its inhabitants. Abimelech's story is marked by unbridled ambition that manifested early on. Even though he was Gideon's son, Abimelech felt inferior because his mother was a concubine, placing him in a socially lower position compared to his half-brothers. This uncomfortable position fueled his determination to change his destiny, regardless of the means necessary to achieve the power he believed was rightfully his. Abimelech was a man of great cunning and skill in manipulating those around him. His ambition knew no bounds, and he was willing to do anything to rise to power. He understood that, to consolidate his position and stand out among Gideon's many sons, he needed to distinguish himself not only by strength but by intelligence and persuasion. With Gideon's death, Abimelech saw a golden opportunity to fulfill his ambitions. He knew that without a strong leader, Israel would be vulnerable to internal divisions and power struggles. Taking advantage of this situation, he began to plot his path to the throne. The first step in Abimelech's plan was to approach the elders of Shechem, his mother's hometown. Shechem was an important city both politically and religiously, and its support would be crucial for any attempt to rise to power. Abimelech knew he needed to convince the city's leaders that he was the best choice to rule Israel. With cunning, Abimelech presented himself to the elders of Shechem and began to argue his case. He appealed to local pride and the desire for autonomy among the men of Shechem. "Remember," he said, "I am one of you, blood of your blood. It is better for you to be ruled by one of your own than by the sons of Gideon, who have no connection to this city." His persuasion was based not only on political logic, but also on emotional and strategic appeals. He promised that if supported, he would ensure the prosperity and security of Shechem. The elders of Shechem, enticed by Abimelech's promises and the prospect of having a king with strong local ties, decided to support him. They recognized the opportunity to consolidate their power and influence in Israel through Abimelech. To seal this support, they gave him 70 pieces of silver from the temple of Baal-Berith. This money would be crucial for the next steps in Abimelech's plan. With the 70 pieces of silver, Abimelech formed a personal guard composed of unscrupulous men, mercenaries ready to carry out any task in exchange for payment. This small private army was loyal only to him and willing to commit any act of violence necessary to consolidate his power. And so, with a ruthless and implacable plan, Abimelech set out to eliminate any threats to his dominion. Translation: Abimelech's brutality was revealed when he used his army of mercenaries to attack his own brothers. In an unprecedented display of cruelty, he killed his 70 brothers, ensuring there were no rivals for his throne. This brutal massacre highlighted the extent of his ambition and his willingness to shed blood to achieve his goals. However, one brother, Jotham, managed to escape and hide, casting a curse upon Abimelech and the men of Shechem. Jotham knew he needed to alert the people to the injustice and betrayal they had committed by supporting Abimelech. In an act of courage and desperation, Jotham climbed to the top of Mount Gerizim, from where he could be heard by all. From there, he cried out in a loud voice, delivering a powerful message through a parable that would become famous, the Parable of the Trees. In the parable, Jotham compared the leaders and people of Israel to trees seeking a king to rule over them. First, the trees went to the olive tree, a noble and useful plant, which refused to govern, saying, "Should I give up my oil, by which gods and humans are honored, to hold sway over the trees?" The trees then went to the fig tree, another valuable plant, which also refused, stating, "Should I give up my fruit so good and sweet to hold sway over the trees?" Next, the trees went to the vine, which produces wine that cheers the hearts of gods and humans. However, the vine also refused, saying, "Should I give up my wine, which cheers both gods and humans, to hold sway over the trees?" Finally, in desperation, the trees went to the thorn bush, a worthless plant full of thorns and dangers. And the thorn bush, in contrast to the noble plants, accepted the offer, saying, "If you really want to anoint me king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the thorn bush and consume the cedars of Lebanon. Jotham's parable carried a clear and powerful message. The noble trees, the olive, the fig, and the vine, represented just and worthy leaders who rejected power, understanding their true purpose and value. The thorn bush, however, symbolized Abimelech, an unworthy and dangerous leader whose reign would bring only destruction and pain. The acceptance of the thorn bush as king was a metaphor for the foolish choice of the men of Shechem in supporting Abimelech. Jotham warned that this choice would have devastating consequences. He prophesied that the alliance between Abimelech and the men of Shechem would be consumed by a fire of destruction, born from the very greed and betrayal that had united them. Jotham's message was a severe warning against unbridled ambition and betrayal, showing that such actions inevitably lead to ruin. By delivering his parable, Jotham exposed the moral weaknesses of Abimelech and the men of Shechem, highlighting the folly of choosing a leader driven by greed and a thirst for power. He appealed to the people's conscience, trying to make them reflect on the consequences of their choices and the implications of supporting a tyrant. Abimelech's reign, although secured through bloodshed and betrayal, was marked by constant dissension and unrest. For 3 years, Abimelech ruled over Israel, but his rule never found stability or peace. His reign, built on the fragile foundation of violence and betrayal, was destined to be tumultuous. The ambition that brought him to power also brought distrust and fear, both among his followers and those he governed. Despite his position as king, Abimelech never managed to secure the true loyalty of his people. His cruelty and the ruthless way he eliminated his brothers cast a shadow over his reign. The massacre of his brothers not only tainted his legitimacy, but also fostered an atmosphere of fear and resentment. Many who initially supported Abimelech began to question their decision, fearing that the same brutality could one day be turned against them. The distrust between Abimelech and the men of Shechem grew increasingly intense. God, seeing the injustice of Abimelech's reign and the cruel acts that brought him to power, sent an evil spirit to sow discord between him and the leaders of Shechem. This spirit of discord brought latent resentments and suspicions to the surface, exacerbating conflicts and undermining any semblance of stability. The city of Shechem, which had once acclaimed Abimelech as king, began to revolt against him. The men of Shechem, initially seduced by Abimelech's promises of power and protection, now found themselves trapped in a reign of terror and mistrust. The revolt began to simmer, initially in murmurs and conspiracies, which soon evolved into acts of open rebellion. The betrayal and violence Abimelech used to ascend to power now turned against him. The leader of the revolt was Gaal, son of Ebed, who came to Shechem and began to sow the seeds of rebellion. He managed to gain the support of many citizens, discontented with Abimelech's tyrannical reign. At a banquet, Gaal publicly challenged Abimelech, questioning his legitimacy and inciting the people to rise against him. The people, already inflamed by discord, were easily persuaded to follow Gaal in his revolt. Zebul, the governor of the city and loyal to Abimelech, learned of Gaal's conspiracy and alerted Abimelech. Armed with this information, Abimelech prepared a surprise attack. At dawn, he and his men ambushed Gaal and his followers. The battle was fierce, but Abimelech managed to disperse the rebels and temporarily regain control of Shechem. However, the revolt did not end there. The spirit of discord continued to erode the foundations of Abimelech's reign. Despite the victory over Gaal, dissatisfaction and resentment among the people of Shechem persisted. Tension reached a boiling point when, in a desperate move, the citizens of Shechem revolted again, this time with more force and determination. Abimelech, driven by blind fury and a need to reaffirm his dominance, responded with extreme violence. He led his troops against Shechem, besieging the city and devastating everything in his path. The ensuing battle was brutal. Abimelech and his men not only defeated the rebels, but also destroyed the city, burning it and massacring its inhabitants. To ensure that Shechem would never revolt again, Abimelech spread salt over the city's ruins, a symbolic act to prevent anything from growing there again. However, the destruction of Shechem was not the end of the descent. Abimelech's violence and cruelty only increased the hatred against him. Abimelech advanced to the city of Thebez, where the terrified inhabitants took refuge in a fortified tower. Thebes was a city that, like Shechem, had risen against Abimelech's tyrannical rule. Determined to extinguish any spark of revolt, Abimelech marched with his forces to crush this new resistance. Upon arriving at Thebes, Abimelech and his men quickly surrounded the city. The attack was relentless, and the inhabitants' resistance, though courageous, was no match for the army hardened by their leader's brutality. The citizens of Thebes, faced with fierce violence, had no choice but to seek refuge in a large fortified tower that stood in the center of the city. This tower, seen as the last bastion of defense, offered some hope against Abimelech's overwhelming fury. However, Abimelech, with his characteristic ruthlessness, was unwilling to let the resistance endure. He ordered his men to surround the tower and, following the strategy he had used in Shechem, prepared to set it on fire. Branches and wood were piled around the structure, forming a macabre pyre intended to consume all those inside. Abimelech's determination to exterminate any opposition was as fierce as his desire for power. As the soldiers prepared to set the tower ablaze, a woman from the top of the fortress watched the enemy's movements closely. In an act of desperation and courage, she grabbed a heavy millstone. With surprising precision and strength, the woman hurled the stone from the top of the tower, aiming at the cruel leader commanding the attack. The stone struck Abimelech on the head, cracking his skull and leaving him gravely injured. Dazed and with blurred vision, Abimelech felt life slipping away slowly. However, the deepest blow was not just physical, but also moral. To be mortally wounded by a woman in a society where honor and masculinity were highly valued was an intolerable humiliation for a warrior and leader like him. In a final act of desperation and wounded pride, Abimelech called his armor-bearer. With a voice trembling from agony and shame, he begged him to kill him with the sword so that he would not be remembered as a man killed by a woman. The armor-bearer, obeying his master's request, ran Abimelech through with the sword, ending the tyrant's life. Abimelech's death was the climax of his violent and tyrannical trajectory. His reign, marked by unbridled ambition, betrayal, and brutality, ended in a humiliating defeat. The millstone, thrown by a woman's hands, symbolized the divine justice that befell Abimelech, fulfilling Jotham's warning and ending the cycle of violence he had initiated. The destruction of Thebes and Abimelech's death served as a powerful reminder of the fate that awaits those who seek power through injustice and cruelty. With Abimelech's fall, Israel was temporarily relieved from the oppression of his tyrannical rule. The land, though marked by devastation, began to recover from the shadow of his reign. Abimelech's story, though filled with tragedy and violence, offers a series of valuable lessons and profound reflections on human nature and the course of divine justice. One of the most evident lessons is the demonstration of the inevitable consequences of unbridled ambition and betrayal. Abimelech, driven by his thirst for power and desire for glory, did not hesitate to betray and eliminate his own brothers to reach the throne. However, his ascent to power was stained with bloodshed and marked by constant mistrust and revolt. Abimelech's blind ambition led him to rule tyrannically and cruelly, oppressing his people and sowing discord wherever he went. His reckless quest for power blinded him to the consequences of his actions, leading him to a tragic and lonely fate. Abimelech's story serves as a grim reminder of the dangers of being consumed by ambition and the destruction it can cause not only to others, but also to oneself. Moreover, Abimelech's fall vividly illustrates the operation of divine justice in the world. Though Abimelech may have escaped human punishment for a time, he ultimately met his tragic end at the hands of God. His death at the hands of a woman, an act that defied the cultural norms of the time, is a testament to the fact that no one is beyond the reach of divine justice. Abimelech's story reminds us that in the end, true justice will prevail, even if it is in a way we do not expect or understand. Therefore, Abimelech's story invites us to reflect on the type of leaders we choose to follow and the values we uphold. It reminds us that true greatness lies not in power or wealth, but in the righteousness of character and devotion to higher principles. May we learn from Abimelech's mistakes and seek leaders who honor God and serve the well-being of all. May we also recognize the divine justice that governs the world and trust that, in the end, light will prevail over darkness. This was today's video. I hope it provided valuable insights. Remember to subscribe to the channel, click the like button, and let us know in the comments where you are watching from. Blessings, and stay with God.